Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne, except for today. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, Jay. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that Rachel's under the weather.
Yeah, it was so nice of you to kind of step in on a moment's notice for us. Rachel's not doing well today and said, I'm going to ask Stephanie, and you were just so willing to do it. We really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks. Well, Rachel, no one misses you more today than I do. But Jay promises me if I muck this up, he'll scrap the episode. So yeah. Let's see how this goes.
That's right. If it's a total disaster, we'll just sink it.
Okay.
But I don't think it will be.
So Jay, I have something to show you.
You do?
You ready?
I think so. Yes. Oh my goodness, you're wearing your KISS t-shirt from your first concert?
I am. So, yeah. So after listening to the Consequences of Rock podcast, which listeners, if you haven't listened to Jay's new podcast, you've got to check it out. So I listened to the episode on KISS and I had to drop you a note to say, it just really brought back memories. And yeah, where else and who else would appreciate my 1979 KISS concert t-shirt?
That is, so tell us about it. Tell us a little bit about the concert.
Well, so I begged my pregnant aunt to take me. She was probably 10 months pregnant at the time. Could have killed me, I'm sure. And we sat in the rafters, but it was just wonderful. I mean, it was KISS. It was KISS.
In the 70s, yes. Yet.
Yeah. And I still have the t-shirt. So
that is amazing. I don't have a single t-shirt from any of my concert going days.
Oh, no.
Not
seriously?
One. Yeah. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Yeah, I wore them and then I'd end up cutting them up, or I'd like wear them working underneath the car and, you know, they would get all greasy. And so I'm so impressed that you do. You have other t-shirts besides your KISS shirt?
I have a couple, but not as special as this one. Yeah, this is a good one. But speaking of music, so I was going to ask if you have seen the documentary, The Story of Anvil.
I think I saw it a few years ago. It came out a couple years ago, right?
I think it's like 2008, so it's been a while.
Yeah, I Lips is so unforgettable. I'm sure I've seen it, but I can't remember.
Oh, it's such a good one. I was just going to throw it out there. I've written down all of the documentaries you've recommended. I haven't gotten to them yet, but that's one that I absolutely love. And I got to meet those guys.
Oh,
I went
really?
To see them at Hard Rock. Yeah. Really super nice guys. And if anyone hasn't seen that documentary, it's really heartwarming and great. And yeah, it's a good one.
Oh,
if anybody likes music, check it out.
Nice. I definitely will. I'm going to put that in my queue. So I got one for you. It's about the same time. I think, I want to say 2008, 2009. It Might Get Loud. Have you seen that one?
No.
Okay. So this
tell me about it.
This is, Jimmy Page, The Edge from U2, and Jack White from the White Stripes.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they get together in this like sound studio, I think it's in Nashville, and they're sitting around with their guitars and they're just telling stories. And the way the documentary is edited is they cut from one guy to another to talk about their origin story, how they developed their unique style, and then they end up playing together. And
I love that already.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Okay, I'll add it to my list. Yeah,
nice.
No. So how's your writing this week?
It's going well. I mean, we record on Monday, so I don't get too far into the week, but worked a little bit on the weekend and on a few projects that I've got going on. So what are you working on these days?
Oh, I just finished a deadline and I had a new release over the weekend, so I'm still floating on the euphoria of having something done and
Congrats.
Nothing hanging over my head. You know how that is.
Yeah.
I always say if I could bottle this feeling and sell it, I would never have to sell another book.
That's great. How's it doing? Is it performing the way you hoped it would?
Yeah, it is. So for the past 5 years, I've launched daily serials on July 1st of each year. And it's a 6 month daily serial, starts July 1, runs through December.
Wow.
And the readers can go to my website and they get it every day for free if they go to that page. And then I release monthly novellas with that month's episodes in them. So if readers want to you know, if they fall behind or if they want to catch up and or read ahead, then they can get the novellas. So it's really fun. I love the daily serials. Readers seem to relate to it. You know, I wanted to put something out there they could read on their phones, maybe get a little daily, you know, just a little story every day. It seems to be working well.
That's great.
I like it.
And you're selling it directly, correct? Like through your website?
No, actually, the novellas are on Amazon.
Oh, they are. The novellas are. Yeah. But the dailies are, how are they?
Well, daily, I'm not asking for a membership or anything. Oh. Readers just go to my website every day and it's up. That day's episode is up for 24 hours and then the next day goes up.
Oh,
So yeah, as long as anybody wants to hit it up, they get it. It's the same story. They get it for free that way.
Wow, that's great. Well, why don't you give all the listeners a little more of an introduction of who you are and what you write and what you've been doing?
Oh gosh, let's see. You're gonna make me tell my age.
No, you don't have to.
Well, I'm gonna give it away in the bio. So I'm Stephanie Bond, and I've been doing this for what seems like a really long time. My first book came out 23 years ago.
Wow.
And that's when I left my corporate job. So I'm an old mainframe programmer, which it's kind of redundant because as soon as you say mainframe programmer, people know you're old. But my undergrad was computer science and I liked the corporate world. I loved my programming job that I had. And, I was going to school, getting my MBA at night. And one of my professors said, I think we can get your thesis published. And I said, published? And he said, has no one ever told you that you have a flair for writing? And I said, no. He said, well, I think we should submit to some academic journals. And all I could think is, I wonder if I could write a romance novel, which he would probably, you know, he would have been appalled if he knew I was thinking that. But so I just got enamored with the thought of writing a book. And soon after that, I transferred to a job that wasn't quite what I hoped it would be. It was within this company, but that was to Atlanta. And there was a great writing group down here. And I thought, if I'm going to get serious about my writing, now is the time to do it. So I left the corporate world 23 years ago, and I've been writing full time ever since.
Awesome. That's great. That's so inspiring.
Oh, thanks. I love it. Most days it's wonderful. You know, it's the greatest job in the world.
Awesome. Well, you had a good idea of taking some of the pressure off you, since I do this all the time and you don't. So you're gonna ask me a question today. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, so I listen to, you know, I love The Writer's Well, of course, and I listen to your other podcasts. So forgive me if this question's already been asked or if I missed this detail, but you haven't talked about your memoir in quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have.
Okay. So my question is, what will be the title of your memoir?
Oh my goodness. That is such a great question, because it's a work in progress, but I haven't thought about the title of it yet. So you're forcing me to come up with one on the spot. Oh.
So do you have an idea of when you might release it? I mean, that'd probably have something to do with it, right? What time of your life you would be releasing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's only temporarily on the back burner because my friend and co-host of The Writers Inc., JD, is helping me with a fiction project, and I want to be focused on that. So I kind of set the memoir aside, but the first draft of that is going to be done pretty soon. So the memoir might, I don't know, it could publish, you know, next year at some point. So it's not something I've tabled for, you know, the long run, but I honestly haven't thought about the title, and my inclination is to try and be clever, but that never works. I think for me, for sales, being clever doesn't work.
I know. I think people expect a clever title from
you. Think
memoir,
so?
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, God.
I mean, you've got, listen, I'm just throwing this out there, but something, you know, to do with Thorn. Can you do some kind of, you know, some kind of reference or alliteration to Thorn? And
yeah, well, you know, I think what the question is forcing me to do is to really think about, like, what is the highest level takeaway of this? Like, why And this is a question I keep saying to Rachel all the time. Like, why is anyone going to care? Why was, does anyone want to read this memoir? And she says it's a very common question that, memoirists have.
Well, for somebody, anyone out there who's writing under a pen name, you might ask yourself why you chose a certain pen name. That might give you some place to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I would, in a title, I don't know if I can come up with one right now, but I think it has something to do with resiliency. I think that would have to be somehow reflected in the title, because I say I'm stubborn sometimes. Sometimes I say I have grit, perseverance, resilience, but I think it's, those are the qualities. And I'm sure, you know, you haven't been in this business for 23 years without having those qualities as well. So I think there's a certain determination that that writers who make a go at this or make a living at it, even for a short amount of time, like, I think there's certain characteristics and qualities you have to have. So I'm wondering if, you know, maybe something around like roses and thorns and grit and persistence, you know.
I love that. I love roses and thorns. That's great. That definitely demonstrates the, you know, the ups and downs and the good and bad of this business. And, you know, yeah, for those of us who've been around, we've all been through some of that, or if not a lot of that. I mean, has any industry changed as much as the book industry in the past 10 years?
I mean, possibly the music industry, but yeah, I can't, you know, I can't think of any other, you know, like even doctors and lawyers and teachers and, you know, those sort of more traditional professions are, you know, they've changed, but not to the degree that publishing has. Publishing is completely different. So, you're right.
So I like roses and thorns. That's, I vote for, okay. for that one.
So Stephanie has already declared it. That's the title. So, yeah, that's. So
you can go ahead and put up the pre-order.
Oh, there you go. I just got to do a mock-up cover and get the pre-order up. That is such a good question. So, you know, well, you have to know, right? You've got to answer it too. That's part of the deal here, right?
Well, so of course I get the benefit of having thought about it for a few minutes, but like I said, I think it would depend on what time in my life it came out. If it came out now, I think it would have to, the title would have to be To Be Continued, because, you know, I'm not slowing down anytime soon. So I expect to be still doing this another 25 years or so.
Yeah.
Maybe we have several memoirs in
us. Well, yeah, so that was going to be, that's a follow-up question I have for you. So you said at this point in your life, have you considered writing or telling stories from other times in your life?
Not yet. What is that saying? There's something about you can't, to write the truth, you have to wait until people die.
Oh, wow.
That's a saying, something like that. You have to wait till everyone's gone. So, I would have to save a few stories until later.
Until some later
period.
Do you think it would be too obvious if you talked about certain
yes.
situations? Okay.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. All right. Enough said. We'll push any more on that. What about like, childhood or teenage years, like anything in there that
yeah
might be
so fun? Actually I was toying around with this earlier, and I was thinking something like a farm girl to fiction, something like that, because I'm really proud of the fact that I grew up on a tobacco farm in eastern Kentucky, and growing up in a small farm town, you know, it really shaped a lot of who I am, and that sensibility that finds its way into a lot of my stories. So I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah.
Something about farm raised and, you know, there's something there, I think.
So just tell us a little bit more about what the culture was like on a tobacco farm at that time.
It was busy. It was a working farm. So there was, you know, two words you did not utter in our house was I'm bored. Also, there was not a lot of entertainment. We had maybe two television channels, and there was no library in my town at the time. So I really fell into the habit of entertaining myself and reading as much as I could get my hands on. So I had an aunt who brought me lots of books every year enough to like bags and bags of book to sustain me. And I actually though really think that those early days of, you know, reading a book every day, there's something about that that really, that instills this sense of storytelling in a person that I don't think I would have developed without being just a rabid reader and just love of words and a love of books. So I credit all my imagination to those days on the farm when, you know, you had to just entertain yourself.
Yeah. Did you maintain that habit through most of your life, the reading every day?
So like most people, I probably fell off reading when I went to college just because there were so many other things to read. And after college, it was, I tried to get back into the habit, but by that time I was in my career and that was taking up a lot of time, and you know, and so it goes. So I actually didn't get back to reading until I started thinking about writing. And then it made me remember and realize how much I missed reading. So I just went on a marathon of reading before I started writing. And yeah, I've tried to maintain that. I don't get to read as much as I would like, but I think every writer would say that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you can steal a few minutes before you go to bed or when you wake up, that's usually the most you can hope for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like nonfiction too. Mm-hmm. And I have to say podcasts are taking up a lot of my entertainment time right now.
Yeah.
You in particular.
I know. I'm sorry.
Because you have so many.
I have to apologize for that.
No, I'm such a fangirl of this podcast in particular though.
Well, thank
you. I found you all during the pandemic when I was listening to other writing podcasts. And I know I love Joanna Penn's podcast and the Write More Books podcast is great. And there are some other ones, and those are all, they have their own charm. But when I found The Writer's Well, oh, I knew I'd found my people. So what I love that you all talk about, not just the writing, but the writer, and that you come at it from such a holistic point of view. The deeper I get into my career, the more I appreciate that angle.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that wasn't necessarily by design. I mean, I think when, you know, when Rachel and I first connected, it was just more about, hey, let's just have some fun. And how can we do something that might be a little bit different than everything else that's out there? And over the years, just our love for each other has grown. And I think that's a big part of the dynamic is the ability to kind of get on and trust each other enough to know that there could be a really nice question coming or a really difficult one, but that it's always coming from a place of love. And we haven't had one question yet where we've said, oh, we can't air that or we can't talk about that. And I feel so fortunate because it's, you know, you go through life hoping that you always interact with people at that level, but that's just not the reality of it. And so to, you know, to find someone like Rachel for me is such a good friend and someone I can count on, and that we can share that and share those conversations has just been such a gift.
Oh, well, it's a gift to the listeners. Trust me, I've learned so much and just look forward to every episode. So
thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Any podcasting in your future?
Oh, no, I'm really lousy at speaking these days. I used to give workshops and things and public speaking type events more earlier in my career, but I've been away from it so long, I'm just not good at it anymore. So I will leave it to the professionals.
Well, you know, you have a spot here. You want to come back and talk about things, or if we need to fill in, we know who to call because you were preparing me for the worst, and I wasn't sure what to expect. And it turns out you have such a gentle, pleasing voice, and I can't imagine would have been a train wreck the way you were talking about it in email.
Well, thanks for that. I hope I didn't bring you down too much.
No, that was great. Good question and nice conversation. So. So listeners, we'd love to know, even if you're not writing a memoir, pretend you are. And, what is the title of your memoir? I would love to see that in the comments. And I know Rachel said she's going to be listening, so I'm sure she'll be commenting in there as well. Fun question.
Yeah, great. And listeners, I'll see you out there.
And tell everyone where they can get their writing, daily writing tips from you again.
Oh, you can go to stephaniebond.com and there's a different daily writing tip every day. So yeah, perfect. Enjoy. I hope it helps.
And now you can start getting the daily cereal too if you go there.
That's right. Yes. Perfect. Just go to the cereal page. You'll get the whole story. It's all there.
Awesome. Stephanie, thanks again so much for stepping in and helping us out. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Get well, Rachel.
Yeah, get better soon.
Bye, Jay.
Bye.